Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us for this Friday, the 24th of June. Very quiet day.
Not much going on.
Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. We have Dr. Alan Chartok with us, very nattily dressed this morning.
You may call me Alan, but thank you for your introduction.
Good morning, Alan. We also welcome Director of the Journalism Program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
That would be Ms. Armeo, please. No.
Excellent.
Okay.
And I can't wait to hear what Barbara has to say. Author and activist Barbara Smith joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fresh from the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco.
Yeah, how did that go?
It's really great. It was sold out. And very lively, and I was complimented on my moderating skills.
Excellent. So can you give me some hints for this group?
Actually not.
Well, it's very nice to have you back.
Thank you very much.
For being with us. Well, let's start with the obvious. Voters in the UK have decided to leave the European Union, a decision that has shocked Europe, shaken global markets, and pushed Prime Minister David Cameron to announce his upcoming resignation. The EU referendum vote was decisive, 52% to 48% in favor of dissolving the United Kingdom's 43-year membership in the European community. But Northern Ireland and Scotland voted in favor of remaining, raising the specter that the UK itself may break apart. We will focus on this today, along with other stories, of course. But let's begin with the obvious. Rosemary, you were talking about how this could be devastating for us and for Europe as a whole. So
I'm seeing a retweet from World War II era saying lights are going off all over Europe. That's how I feel about this. We have a guy positioned to become the head of Great Britain soon, not even to be great. I think it will fall apart. Who believes that our president is from Kenya, therefore we should not believe his views about Brexit. Remember, because he said Barack Obama has Commonwealth fear, and so
this
he
is
was
Boris
prejudiced.
Johnson.
Boris Johnson, yeah. So he'll end up in charge. Former mayor of London, right? And I think what's happening is that reactionary forces are fighting globalization and the integration of the whole world and the coming together of people. They're fighting all of that, and it's a disaster. And I think it portends well for Donald Trump, which is an equal disaster for the United States. I think economically, politically, culturally, this is just very bad news. I'm sorry the polls were wrong. Not surprised. I don't believe in polls. Last night I followed. I didn't even brush my hair this morning. I've been doing nothing but reading news about this. And it started off saying, oh, they're going to remain. No problem. It's a close vote, but they're going to remain. And then this big flip, you're already seeing the pound dropping.
And
the stock markets all over the world are dropping.
Yeah.
So, and I know that's mostly uncertainty, but I don't believe that. This is a small thing, and that it's going to all go away. It's huge.
We look at this, and you think of. As you said, there are so many implications, and it's impossible to even get a handle on all of what we're talking about. What we do know is that with Prime Minister Cameron resigning, probably by October. This is going to be unfolding over a rather long period of time, at least two years, to figure out exactly where the dust settles.
You may remember yesterday, I sort of thought this. There were a couple of things. Number one, I said that this group was not only appealing to the know-nothing vote, but they and the silent majority and the moral majority, but in fact, that is exactly a good part of their message. Don't let these other people in from out of there, whether they're Polish or this or that. So don't do that. As Rosemary profoundly stole the words right off my tongue and lips, this portends well for Trump.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought.
And the reason
I didn't hear the show, but yeah. I thought that on my own.
No, right, of course. And the reason, and the reason for that is, and I combine that with your trepidation about polls, Rosemary.
Yep.
Is that the kind of people who have traditionally been polled on these issues are not the kind of people who talk to pollsters.
Right. They're
so
not
it was
honest
supposed to be
about
0.02%. It turns out it was huge. It was 4%. So a lot of people did not respond to this. I have a feeling that's what Trump is aiming at in the United States also, and it may work much the same way. And we're seeing little tiny hints of that when we hear from, people that there are more white voters than we had thought, white men voters than we had thought. That's a pretty good reason for some music in the background.
Because, that is Dyer organ. Yes. Type Phantom of the Opera music.
That's right. So it is interesting to me that this has happened. I want to say one more thing, and I again want to compliment Rosemary on what she said, because it all started at the Second World War. That's when Great Britain, as we know it, went into the tanks. There were no more, and good thing too, Roosevelt insisted on it. There's no more colonialism, the colony, they had to give up all the colonies. They went basically broke and owed us money till I think 2 years ago, as a result of all of this. So if you look at it, it starts here, you'd be wrong. Look at it, it starts at the end of the Second World War.
This is not original, but I thought it was profound on Twitter last night. Someone wrote that Great Britain, which colonized the world, is now going to break apart at a fake worry about being colonized itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Well, it's chickens coming home to roost in some ways. I mean, it's like you reap. I just feel like I'm talking in nothing but cliches. But the thing is that they did colonize the world. The sun never set on the British Empire. And having gone to London for the first time in the 1970s, and many times since, I saw, the consequences of the colonies coming home, because there are many people of color in the actual, mainland United Kingdom because of their history of colonization and all the resentment and all the kind of negative racial dynamics that we have in our country with a different history. Mm. And now this thing about not wanting the immigrants, and then let's look at the Supreme Court yesterday, but we will.
We will. And that's tied mm-hmm. in together, I think.
Oh, everything. I thought our stories today were so incredibly connected to each
Correct.
Other.
Correct.
Very
every
much so.
One of them. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just one more thing, and that is that this has really got profound impact because you said colony. I think to some degree, Great Britain, I hate to say this because we started out as their colony,
yes, is
now our colony.
Mm.
I think that that's why Barack Obama was over there. That's why he gave the speech saying basically everybody should stay in, that Brexit was wrong. And I think there's a certain irony in all of that.
Well, not the least of this is that for the next 2 years, American companies looking to expand and do great things in Europe will spend their time instead renegotiating deals that are blown up by this vote, by this mm-hmm. this action. And so it's all like this wasted energy. And ultimately, we are globalized. We are interconnected.
Yeah.
It's not going to help. It's such a short-term and self-defeating vote. I'm just stunned by it.
But what it also shows us, and we see it here in this country, again returning to the Trump analogy,
yeah.
that there are voters in all of these places who think yeah. that we have been overly bureaucratized
right.
by politicians. And these are votes against politicians. So let's face it, we keep hearing that the economy in Great Britain, the economy here has been so much improved. And yet when you look at the indices that Bernie's talking about, sorry about this, Rosemary, but you look at the indices that Bernie's talking about, which is that the average man and woman in the United States has not enjoyed any of the fruits of this thing or most of the fruits of this thing. This is the resentment that I think we're hearing.
One of the things that you mentioned yesterday, Rosemary, that I mean, is, again, there's so many facets mm-hmm. to this, but one of the things that, that you mentioned yesterday was in regards to Vladimir Putin.
And oh, he's the overjoyed. Yeah, the Russian reaction is amazing. They are painting this as not just Britain freeing itself from Europe, but Britain freeing itself from the United States will now go off on its own. It's an attack on their country.
Isn't that true?
Well, probably depends on who becomes president in some ways. Because
who becomes
if Trump were president, I think that they would have a lot of
Trump and Johnson would definitely be colluding on more of this isolationist America first, Britain first.
Yeah, there would be parallel tracks, kind of like with Reagan and Thatcher.
Meantime, he spent yesterday in Scotland on his golf course, on his own
golf course.
Well, and he spent this morning just about 2 hours ago had a news conference and was heavily critical of both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, especially for President Obama for coming to England and to the defense of staying in and said he had nothing, he should have nothing to do with that and let the people make up his mind, although he did indicate that he was not in favor or was in favor of leaving. And then also said that Hillary Clinton also should be chided because she did what he wanted him to.
Yeah, what Barack Obama did. Yeah. Actually, she's pulled away. Barack Obama's in favor of TPP and the kind of trade organization that the EU represents. And she was originally. I think that is still the right position. And she's now backed away, forced into it by Bernie Sanders. Nina, what's her name, the big supporter, the Ohio legislator who loves Bernie.
Nina Turner, former senator.
That's it, Nina Turner. A state senator, yeah, she was on saying, oh, yeah, Hillary would never have come to this on her own. I think that's true, and I think she would have been better off to stay with the original Obama position.
When I was in college, the big debate always was, and subsequent to that, who lost China? Who was responsible, for the communists taking over? That was the huge debate in the United States. Now I think we're going to have the kind of thing you've just been mentioning, Rosemary. Who lost, Great Britain? Who lost the Brexit vote?
David Cameron deserves a whole big.
He does.
He's being punished for it, I admit, but it's his fault. This referenda, it's non-binding, although it's politically you have to pay attention to it. Yeah. He started it. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, no, he shouldn't have done it.
He read it wrong. He just read the tea leaves wrong. He thought there'd be a vote in favor of staying. It would be resounding.
And that it would have been unifying.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that the polls got wrong was that they were saying in the early voting that they just didn't, that they knew that the sentiment was there, but that they wouldn't, much as we talked about in this country. Oh, by the way, 72% as far as voter turnout, who wouldn't want that in an election?
I was surprised. I thought it would be higher. Actually.
Really?
No.
Yeah. I thought 72% is pretty darn high.
More people, is that 30% that just don't know anything, don't care, don't ever do anything?
We take 72 in this country any day.
Oh, my God.
Presidential elections are our biggest election.
And I guess, of course, what I was comparing it to, is in this country, but 72% seems very
high. Well, there's
a
new and undoubtedly doomed effort to have another referendum on the basis that less than 75% voting on an issue this big should not be.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, by the way. I wouldn't be surprised to see some second day guilt about all of this and people asking for a second referendum.
Is it safe to say, you talked about this yesterday, Alan, I'm using it in a different context, but in talking about our election, our presidential election, and saying 5 points is considered a runaway.
Huge. It is.
Well, in this case, it's 4%. 4 percentage points, 52-48.
No, it's huge. It's huge, and it was expected. The polls, as Rosemary quite correctly held up her nose about.
And we saw it with Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, too. That was supposed to be a squeaker I was getting ready to watch all night, and by 11 o'clock it was decided.
Wasn't it you who said that you had gone through I kept thinking about this all day yesterday, gone through the Panama Canal in the old days, and there wasn't enough room to put a piece of paper between there. Well, that's what this election was supposed to be, 0.02% or something like that. And it turns out to be 4 percentage points, which is considered a blowout.
The one thing I will say about the polls yesterday is that the BBC, as far as exit polling, once the vote was completed and the exit polls started coming in, they said that their best exit poll was 52-48. So they got that right. but not in the, front end.
Yeah, as I said, there was a big reversal because I went out last night and I left saying, okay, it's safe, you know, and then I came back and, whoa.
But the key there is, Joe, and you're absolutely right, they got the polling right because they were talking to the people who voted.
Right.
The exit polling. Whereas the regular polling, they couldn't identify who was going to vote. That's the big problem.
And, of course, as we've said here just moments ago, you extrapolate that to the United States and say, okay, what does that mean for our general election as we look now in the polls that we see at this moment?
Well, I just hope that his really bizarrely run and ill-run campaign.
Donald Trump?
Yeah, I hope that is a factor in it, but who knows? You never can tell.
I'm a glass half full person, and I always assume. Thank you, Joe.
Yes.
I always assume the worst.
You said half full. You mean half empty.
Half empty.
Right.
Yeah. You said half full. I was like, that's certainly true.
You're quite right.
All right. Well, we're going to let's take a break in a moment, and then we'll come back. We have a lot of letters on this. Not surprisingly, we have a lot of letters to talk about this. We should also note that the U.S. markets will open in just about a minute and a half, so we'll get some idea, although world markets are all down pretty much.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
And I've heard.
I just checked my phone.
I've heard the term earthquake being used to describe the market, so we'll obviously be following that as well. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith. We will continue our discussion after this short break. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. I think we're getting a little bit of me saying, all right, here we go. Good morning, and we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of letters on the Brexit vote as well as we want to get to a couple of other topics this morning because there's a lot going on. So let's go to the letters.
Okay, let's go to the letters.
No, wait, put your...
Let's do that. Thank you, as always, Joe. Frankly, globalism sucks. One could only hope that a panel member would invite people into their homes graciously, show them kindness and support them, only to have guests want to take control of and demand changes as to how you run your own home. While we had many backward ways of the turn of the century through the 50s and 60s, immigrants who came here assimilated but kept their culture but became part of America, the new wave of immigration in the world wishes to change the world's living room. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Would be concerned about this. Please stop with the isolationist. And then there's a word I'm not using on the air. Okay.
Can I make a correction? Yeah. I just got a note. I talked about all the lamps are going out over Europe instead of the States. But that was actually World War One. Foreign Secretary from England said that in 1914, although World War One and World War Two are also connected, as we know.
Correct.
Okay, so then Lynn says, really, Rosemary is so uninformed, it is distressing. Now she's touting the TPP and TIPP as wonderful trade deals, ? Even Paul Krugman, big HRC supporter, had to admit yesterday on Marketplace on NPR that TPP wasn't really a trade deal, and as most tariffs on trade are already very low, these deals are about intellectual property, drug patents, and investors' state dispute settlements. And then there's some more insults, but we'll leave it at that. And then Abed says,
did you want to respond?
No.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton. No.
Okay. And then we heard from John and Jeannie, listening to the panel's thoughts on Brexit vote and Cameron holding it a truly liberal position. If we're going to lose a vote, don't let people vote? Seriously? Wow. Power to the people. But I guess only when they're going to agree with us elites.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Was the last word elites?
Elites.
Elites. Oh, okay. Yes.
You're an
this was not a vote to enter the European Union. Britain has been part of it for nearly a half century.
40 years.
He wanted a popularity contest, and he thought he would do this to get to solidify people's feelings and say, okay, we're in it to stay. He miscalculated badly. The vote was unnecessary. It's caused undue havoc.
And for decades.
For decades to come, yeah. We're 30 years have just been lost with this vote. So, and this whole idea of elite, when did becoming educated, interested in events, and involved become a bad thing? The do-nothings out there, I'm sorry. I'm going to insult you. Just read. Just learn stuff. And then call me an elite. That's just so infuriating.
Okay. All right.
Anti-intellectualism is a problem around the world. We're seeing the results of it.
And yes, and we have seen dictatorships and other things which resulted as a result of know-nothingism. That's correct.
We're seeing Donald Trump, for heaven's sakes. A reason he likes the uneducated people in the world and can boast about it. You should be ashamed to be part of that group. Okay, I'm done now.
John says, illegal immigration. I completely understand the desperate plight of illegal immigrants, but I fear the promotion of illegal immigration tacitly supports human trafficking and other undesirable side effects of illegal activity.
He's switched to the Supreme Court decision.
Yeah.
Yes. And then Ryan says, Rosemary's wrong that this is a short-term solution for people. If you have been mistreated by globalization, you're barely getting by. Why would you vote in favor of a system which hasn't treated you well? That's from Ryan. Narcissa says, dear Roundtable, while I would no doubt have voted to remain were I British, the press is missing the point of Brexit. By focusing on an anti-immigrant sentiment as the cause, EU citizens do not have direct participation in the creation of laws that govern them. The only way they could express their displeasure was this binary way, and even this vote is non-binding. A better EU might find more enthusiasm, immigrants and all.
I don't understand that. Why would this person, the listener, say that immigration and anti-immigrant sentiments have nothing to do with the way the vote turned out?
He's saying it's economic, yeah.
Well, it is not economic and it is not immigrant. It's all of it.
Because they gave up their jobs, because they gave up power to Brussels. It's hurt them at home, and therefore they're going to vote against
it. But he's
also, I think, asserting that anti-immigrant, racist, xenophobic feelings
right.
have nothing to do with the vote.
Which is crazy.
That's what I don't understand.
This whole thing is also an argument for young people. Get out and vote, because what happens when you stay out of it is we older people decide, and we don't look long term. We look at, oh, I lost my job and I'm not going to get a better job, therefore I'm going to vote against everything that might set up a better world for you. Young people need to vote.
Yes, but it also shows, because the polling showed that the young people were for staying in and that the pensioners.
Because they're educated.
Yeah. Well, not all of them are educated, Rosemary.
Yes.
No,
Alan,
no,
young
not all.
And educated voters in Great Britain were overwhelmingly
That's
in
correct. But don't start with this business about
they're university students. That's where they poll them.
Oh, well, you work in a university, so all university students make
are
up
educated. No, they're educated.
Make
though.
The entire N up of N, as we say in social science, don't you know?
No, of course I'm not saying that. You're
yeah, okay.
Distorting.
Well, let's be careful. That's all I'm saying. And then Michael, who checks in quite frequently, who really cares? Britain was never fully in anyway. They kept the pound sterling, never adopted the euro. The only tragedy here is that the poor woman who had to die violently in this nonsense.
Joe Cox.
Yeah. No. And then I like this one very
it's
much
not the only
from
victim,
Judith.
Though.
She says,
it's
you are
Syrian refugees and African refugees all over Europe are victims, too. That's just not a true comment at all.
OK, well, each is entitled to their own opinion, Rosemary.
Right. And we're reading them.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading them. You're commenting on them. Judith says, you are right, Alan. Me, a Scot. Feeling almost weepy about what's happening to what was the United Kingdom. But there's a lesson in it, and that's in capital letters, there's a lesson in it. As you say, what Brexit and Bernie are responding to is the innately unequal system of government that dominates the Western world and which also happens to be what is sending us over the cliff environmentally. And that's from Judith, and I very much appreciate that. John says, Rosemary and Alan's narrow-minded, ivory tower point of view notwithstanding, a desire for sovereignty does not equal a desire for isolationism. Funny how the right to self-determination is so discriminately applied by liberals. And that's John from Amherst. And then James says, Putin must be licking his chops, ready to gobble up the Baltic states as Europe splinters and as the U.S. leaves NATO under a President Trump. And A says, there were voters in Manchester on BBC this morning saying that they voted to leave because they wanted to send a message, but never thought it would actually happen. That happens, by the way. They interviewed some people on NPR
yesterday.
Yeah, I saw
that. Yep.
Sounds like some of Bernie's supporters, we need to beware our fate in November.
I just wanted to note real quick that the Dow currently down 437. It went well below 500 when it initially opened. Now seems to be leveling out a little bit.
It'll probably go up and down all day.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, you know, the old saying is buy low and...
The central bank in England has been very fast to come out and say, we got lots of money. We're fine.
Yes.
Hang on.
Yeah, and they said that, in fact, Britain has been handling it better than some of the other European countries, Britain, Germany. France, Germany.
France and Germany.
Well, they have a lot to lose, too, here.
Yes.
Roundtable, Brexit, Trump. Good morning, panel. Morning, as Ray would say. If there's any better indicator now that the now-realized Brexit is a bad idea, it is our perhaps soon-to-be president, Mr. Trump, is in favor of it. John says, charity begins at home. Bad news, you smart aleck. Privileged elites. Good news for the people who unstop your toilets.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk about this elite issue. I think it's really, I don't like when we talk about uneducated voters either, or uneducated constituents. I bristle.
So is that a shot at Rosemary?
Pardon me?
Is that a shot at Rosemary?
Are you talking about the letter? Or
no, what you just said.
Oh, no, I don't do shots. You should know me
now. No, I think all people do shots.
Well,
perhaps,
I wasn't thinking about... No, I was just saying that not only don't I like the talk about accusing us of being elitist, I also don't like the talk when we characterize people who have not had access to higher education as thinking a certain way or being a certain way. I'm just trying to show that either way that you stereotype isn't really that helpful. And I am not taking a shot at Rosemary.
Well, I think that's the conventional view, is that it's bad taste and we who are privileged should not say bad things. However, and this country has a long, long strain of anti-intellectualism that
I would agree.
You take more than a shot. You vote against people who have experience and education and advantages. And it's very dangerous. And that's why I hate letters like this. And I don't want to be polite and do the conventional thing anymore.
Well, Barbara, I don't want to argue with you because I have nothing but immense respect for you. But it was a shot at what Rosemary said.
It doesn't matter. I can handle it. Let's go on.
That's why we're here. We can disagree with each other. Why are you putting your hands up in the air?
Because, well, no, that's not what the show is about. Let's move on.
Yeah, we've got lots of stuff.
Okay. Margaret says, what was the percentage of the vote in Britain yesterday? Do we know it was 75% turned out? And
what's the question?
What was the percentage of the vote in Britain yesterday?
Well, it was 58-40. It was 52-48 the final vote, and it was 72% of turnout.
Okay.
I think is that what they're asking?
Yes, I hope that's what they were asking.
We should actually stop there and take a break. Let's do that, and we'll be back. We'll continue. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now at 793 Broadway in Kingston. RhinebeckArt.com. Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York, presenting As You Like It, Measure for Measure, an all-female Macbeth, and more, through September 5th, hvshakespeare.org. And Mizzentop Day School, Pawling, a co-ed pre-K through 8th grade independent school with small classes and an emphasis on values, academics, and community. Explore, experience, discover. Mizzentop.org.
Good Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Of course, there are many other items to discuss, and we will get to as many of them as we can in our final segment this morning. First, we'll talk about the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court's, lack of a split decision having to do with immigration. They will not revive President Obama's plan to shield illegal immigrants from deportation. President Obama suffered a legal defeat on Thursday when a deadlocked Supreme Court failed to revive his stalled plan to shield millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation and give them the right to work legally in the United States. The justices' votes were not announced, but the court's liberals and conservatives split at oral argument this spring. The tie means that a lower court's decision that Obama probably exceeded his powers in issuing the executive action keeps the plan from being implemented. The president spoke out yesterday and said that this was he vowed to continue other programs that put a top priority on deporting violent criminals rather than longtime residents who do not pose a threat to the country. He also sharply criticized congressional Republicans for refusing to consider his nominee to replace Justice Antonin Scalia, who died in February. Who wants to take the first shot?
Well, if nobody else wants to go first, I'll go first. And I will raise the ire of a lot of people. Let me preface it by saying I truly believe Obama is a great man who is trying to do the right thing. I think the problem here is that we do have three branches of government. We also have a Supreme Court which is either an entirely predictable political Supreme Court, 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, so you know exactly that people are voting the party line. Then every once in a while, somebody votes based on a legal constitutional provision. And in this case, there is a question as to whether he exceeded his authority. I loved what he did. I was hoping the court would side with him. But I also understand putting myself in the shoes of the other person, of four justices, that there may be a rationale. Because once you say to the president, you can do what you want, doesn't much matter what the Congress does. Once you say that, there is a protectionism that occurs around the House of Representatives when people have to be responsible in the Senate and the House for who they vote for and what they do. One famous judge, Frankfurter, said, we have to stay out of the political thicket. And he did that in the gerrymandering case. He knew what he was talking about, and I think for good reason.
There are two issues in this case. One is executive action that Alan has been talking about, and the other is immigration. It was a heartless move on immigration. However, I don't think the Supreme Court should be deciding immigration. It's something Congress has to do and is refusing to do. And I'm happy that Scalia was not around to be part of this decision because, bad as it is, it's a decision with an asterisk by it because it's missing one justice. Had Scalia been there, I think it would have been 5-4, and it would have been the rule of the law of the land and for a precedent that has to be knocked down. Now it'll be easier to undo if we could just get the political will.
Well, you can see where it's coming. Assuming Hillary, she's going to have at two or probably three Supreme Court judges, and they're going to side with her for the
But one of the things that I thought that was a little chilling about what the president said, which was, if the Senate decides that they are going to be in the business of confirming Supreme Court justices.
I'm sorry. You mean like it was a choice, you mean?
Meaning that if you remain with a GOP Senate.
Yeah.
It's very possible that even then they will decide not to take up the—
You mean past the November?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, well, it certainly is possible. So let me ask you this, Joe. Suppose, things get switched around. Trump gets elected president of the United States, and people get up on the floor of the Senate and filibuster like crazy so that reactionary right-wing judges can't be appointed to the Supreme Court. Will our liberal community, and I count myself as one of them, be applauding?
Yeah, but we're outnumbered, so what good does it
no,
do?
No, we're not outnumbered when it comes to the number you need to confirm. So in other words, there'll be plenty of Democratic senators to put a stop to. And those people who have been saying these people aren't doing their job, they're not allowing a vote, in the old days they're filibustering, they're not allowing it to go on. You know, our attitude about filibustering historically has been, when our guy, Chris Murphy, did it the other day, good, great, terrific. But when the others do it, it's reactionary. Yes?
Yes. You don't govern by filibuster, though. It's an extreme tactic.
But we do in this country.
Well, I don't like that. I think Obama's right. We need a Senate that does its job, that you bring things to a vote, and you vote it down if you don't like it. But you don't just hamstring the government or suspend the government when you don't like what the president is doing.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I will remind you of that if it goes the other way.
Yeah, fine.
Meanwhile, the Supreme Court also reaffirmed that the value of creating a diverse student body allows university officials to consider race in making admission decisions. Upholding a University of Texas plan that has been the subject of years of legal battles, the 4-3 decision was a surprising win for advocates of affirmative action who had entered the term simply hoping the court would not use the case to ban all uses of affirmative action. Barbara?
What interests me is the confusion that continues in this nation around what racism is and isn't. Some of the comments that are in the article absolutely subscribe to the concept of reverse racism. Right. We're not supposed to make decisions based upon race. We're not supposed to discriminate based on race. And so that means that in a fantasy world that we're not supposed to even consider what it means to bring more diverse racially students to a campus because we're actually taking it into account. To their minds, including probably the plaintiff, if that's the right, you know, word for her, her perspective is just don't pay any attention to it, and whatever the luck of the draw is, that's the luck of the draw. That's not the country we live in. Race is being taken into account every single second in every single place in this nation. It's just not always rising to the level of courts and public scrutiny of that kind. So it's not that people in this country don't want race to be taken into account. It's that they don't want any official acknowledgement that we have inequality and disparities and for our systems to address that. That's what they don't want. It's fine for race to be taken into account, so it's in the favor of those for whom it always has been.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I was glad Antonin Scalia was not around for this decision. It would have made a tie then, yeah. And then the lower court ruling would have. I guess that would have been okay because it said it was Texas was doing it right. But now we have a decision that's affirmative for affirmative action. That was one of two pieces of good news yesterday. The other was that Led Zeppelin didn't steal Stairway to Heaven.
Yes. Which was a case that many thought they could actually lose.
Right. They have been caught before being a little shaky on that.
So, and I also finally want to get to Freddie Gray. We obviously have been talking a lot about these stories throughout the last 2 years, and following this case from since it happened. But the driver was acquitted and certainly cast doubt about future trials. This was the Baltimore police officer who was charged with murder and six other crimes in the death of Freddie Gray was acquitted on all counts.
I really don't even know what to say. He was the only one who was charged with murder,
yes.
I take it. And the fact that Freddie Gray emerged from the back of that van with his spinal cord severed, it's like, why is it that no one can figure out culpability? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, three people have been acquitted already. Well, we have the results, which is a dead individual and severely injured and then dead individual. And yet There's no culpability that can be figured out.
Well, here's the problem. Incredibly incompetent prosecution. They overcharged those people. They went too fast into it. They started, the order of the cases was crazy. The first guy who ended up, it ended up in a
mistrial.
Mistrial, right, was supposed to testify against the others. He was then lost because he's now himself still in danger. She deserves to be thrown out of office. And
okay, the state does not have any convictions after three trials.
Correct.
Right. So now, what do they do?
Two more to go. So, yeah,
it's big questions.
Terrible prosecution.
Big questions.
Yeah, and yet we have. Where is it that they're considering now making it in New England? They're considering making it a felony to attack a police officer rather than just like a regular crime. They want to make it a super crime. So we easily.
That's always been the case. In fact, there are many,
many states already
where
right.
they say if you murder a cop, you face the death penalty. Yeah. When you murder a regular one of us, you don't.
So the cops continue to get protection, and Freddie Gray, who suffered a horrible death, goes, just completely unrevenged.
1 minute steel cage match, Corey Lewandowski. Lewandowski hired by CNN. Rosemary, 30 seconds, go.
Deplorable. I'm boycotting CNN. I will never watch it. Elliot Spitzer was a bad decision. They hire Bush girls who are completely unqualified to be commentators, and now this, it's deplorable. He hates the press. He has thwarted press freedom and even hurt, I don't know if attacked is the strong word, but he touched and bruised a reporter just trying to do the news, and now we give him a job? Horrible.
I see it a little bit differently. If you're going to hire somebody who really has an insight into the Trump campaign, an expert, it makes sense to hire this guy. I don't like him, but I think it makes sense, and I certainly will continue to watch. And I'm not one of those people who believes in censoring the press by not watching them.
All right. Well, that is our show for
terrible hires like this one.
That is our panel.
They go for ratings from you.
We're done.
Okay, sorry.
You can yell in the car.
You had your 30.
We're out of time. We're going to continue. We're going to talk a lot more about the Brexit vote. We're going to talk about the markets. We're going to talk to a professor who is in London. We have a lot coming up, and we'll continue with that discussion after this short break.